Hello, everyone. Welcome to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And my name is Emily, and we have yet another chaotic Survivor episode breakdown for you all today.
If there is one word that describes this season, it is 100% chaotic.
I personally love whenever Genevieve voted and she goes, "This is a shit show."
She was right. She was right.
Yeah, I was like, that's the whole season.
I mean, the fact that we don't know anything up until the very moment that people vote is crazy.
I don't think they know.
They don't. They don't have enough time. And I feel like that is one of the perks, I guess, entertainment-wise of a shorter season is that they have a travel council and then they have one like 1 or 2 days later. And so they don't have a lot of time to like build alliances and have things set in stone. So,
yes, agreed. All right, let's get into this. So, we open up portion one. Got.
I love that. I literally wrote that down. Sam said got because his number one got alliance got voted out.
She got. And we see Sam and Rachel are like, we're on the bottom. What are we going to do? Yada, yada. But then we see Rachel explain why she played her shot in the dark. And we were right. She did play it to kind of gauge people's reactions.
No, it's not. We were right. You were right. Because I would have never come up with that on my own. And I sat there and said, Emily was right. She literally reached for her shot in the dark to gauge people's reactions. And you know what? Rachel's a really good player. So in my head, that makes you a genius player. And we've got to get you on the show. Like, that's all I was thinking every time when she said that.
That's hilarious. Because I watched so many TikToks this week. And listened to Jeff Probst's podcast. And he was like, you know, we put advantages in the game. We put different twists in the game, like the shot in the dark. We just see how the players are going to use it. And he was like, we've never seen anyone use it like that. And it was like so many people caught on to it. And there was like an equal amount of people that didn't catch on to it. Because there were TikTok videos of like, why? I don't understand.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you have the mind for the game because you caught on to it. And I don't think, I mean, it made sense once you explained it to me, I was like, yes, absolutely. That's exactly what happened.
Yes.
But if you hadn't explained it to me, I would have never caught on to that. And I just think that that's genius because now there's not a person in Fiji that suspects that she has an immunity idol, you know?
Oh, yeah. Nobody does. They label her as on the bottom. And also, she then becomes this person that she's seen like she's on the bottom and suddenly people want to start working with her, you know, like she's gonna be the new Andy. Andy was on the bottom, everyone wanted to work with him. Now it's Rachel.
And Andy said that he's a certified flipper.
I also wrote that down.
He said he feels like he's on top now and he has a second chance, which it just makes me laugh. Andy just makes me laugh.
I know, but he did do serious damage control with Sam. He was like, I helped you stay. Everyone wanted you. I told him Sierra. So he took the target off his back because he was like, hey, this wasn't my idea, even though it was.
He said, don't worry, Sam. I'm still your little slave.
I know. And I'm just like, I'm so shocked by Andy's gameplay. I don't even know. Like, he's becoming a genius and they're going to need to get him out.
If he wins and we predicted it, I mean, granted, three of the other people that we predicted are already voted off, so I'm not going to say we're like Nostradamus or anything over here. But if he wins and we predicted it, I'm taking credit for that.
For sure. But I think Genevieve's going to win.
We'll see. Now I'm starting to see some cracks in Genevieve's game.
We'll see if they come to Florida.
We'll get to it. Yes.
All right. So we have Rachel and Andy talk. And they're like, can we work together? And Andy's like, she didn't want to work with me at first. And Rachel's like, he blindsided me twice. And it's kind of like that toxic, like, boyfriend, you know? Like,
yes.
Going back to that line from her.
Like, he just keeps messing up.
Yes. Yeah. Like, they said it earlier in the season. He's like a toxic boyfriend. But I see it even more now. It's like they know that they can't trust each other, yet they're still willing to work together. Like, makes no sense.
I get that. And I forgot, was it Rachel that said he was like a toxic boyfriend, or just was it somebody else?
It was her. Remember? I think it was Annika.
It was her, Annika, or Sierra, one of the Gattaca girls.
Yes.
And now it just makes sense. But at the same time, his superpower is that he's toxic but innocent somehow. Like, he's innocently toxic.
Yes, but that's every relationship. It's the guys that you think are going to be so sweet and so caring. They're the most toxic ones.
You know, you're like, I'll finally settle for this dorky, nerdy guy who is into video games and action figures, and then they turn out to be the most toxic person you've ever dated.
Yes, every single time. And that, to me, is Andy. And in this conversation, he throws out Kyle. And then instantly, I mean, Rachel's just so smart. She's like, yeah, Sue and Caroline don't like Kyle. She's caught on to that there are cracks in Tuku, but you just got to wait till the right moment to take him down. And I'm just sitting here wondering, can they actually work together to take them down?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to see, because the vibe that I get from Tuku is that they tell each other, oh, we're strong, we're going to work together no matter what. But like, once Tuku breaks up in any capacity, they're done. Like, I don't care who's left. Like, they're done.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that promo, but it kind of looks like it happens next week.
Yeah, it did. It definitely
did. It was montage of Sue saying, I want to kill Kyle.
I would be more shocked if she said that she wanted to kill Gabe, but I feel like that's never going to happen.
No, never. You would never.
Also, we'll get to it, but I just really would have thought that Kyle would have been gone this episode because of him finally not winning immunity. But
I know.
It's not the way the cookie crumbled.
No, I thought so too. All right, we get to portion 3, and we have Teeny and Sol apologizing to Sam, saying, you know, we didn't want you gone. We didn't want it to go this way, blah, 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 blah. They're trying to do damage control. Sam's like, okay, like, I really want to work with you all. But then in his interviews, he's like, I want revenge.
He said he had a vendetta against Law, though.
Yes. And they all come together and they all say, we think Gabe's a player. Let's get Gabe out.
Mm-hmm. Smart move. Smart move.
I know. I was like so excited because I was like, finally. Finally. Someone's throwing his name out.
They really should have done it last week, but whatever.
Yep. All right, so then we see Teeny gets tree mail. They need to divide into 5 pairs before the immunity challenge. And instantly Sam's like, I choose Andy. And Andy's like, is he my friend? And Sam's like, I know that I can beat Andy. That's why I chose Andy.
So was he thinking, like, Andy is good enough to get me somewhat far in this challenge, but when I have to go head-to-head with him, he's weak enough to beat, but almost like, yes. He picks somebody too weak in the end, but we'll get to it.
Yes, that was what he was thinking, but that's also how Kyle was thinking. He was like, I'll pick Gabe because Gabe will help me get to the final stage, and then I'll beat Gabe, and we see how that worked out.
I mean, come on, it's Gabe. He won like all the challenges for Tuku. Like, he helps Tuku win every challenge that they won. Yeah. And he just looks athletic. And he just looked, I mean, he's such a strong player all around. And granted, Kyle has won 3 challenges in a row. I get that. So like, Gabe, not necessarily the challenge beast. Yeah, kind of asterisk. But Gabe is not necessarily the challenge beast. But like, I still feel like Kyle should have chosen somebody slightly weaker. But you don't know, because you don't know what the challenge is going to be till you get there.
Yeah, exactly. So who would you want to be paired up in this situation?
You know, to be honest, it felt like the girls and Sol didn't really have a choice, because it was like Kyle and Gabe matched up right away. Sam and Andy matched up right away. So Genevieve ended up with Sue, Rachel ended up with Caroline, and Teeny ended up with Sol. So I feel like, me being like not a super athletic person, would not have been chosen by any of like the challenge beasts, and I probably would have ended up with someone like a Sol. That would have been best case scenario. Would be feeling me to end up with Sol.
Yeah, but if you got to choose, if you were the decider,
See, that's hard because you do have to pick someone you can beat, but also someone who will get you far. So maybe like, maybe honestly, Genevieve.
Ooh. Yeah.
I don't know. See, I really don't know.
I don't know why, but in my gut, I just had a feeling that it was going to be one of those challenges that like girls are better at. And typically this challenge, girls are better at because they have smaller feet. And I mean, it didn't work out that way. There was only one girl in the final anyway, but I would think that Sue would be really good at this challenge. And so I was thinking that I would want to go with someone who has like totally opposite skill sets as me, can still get me to the end. But at the end, it's clear which one of us is going to win. Just yeah, in that, case.
That makes sense. And like, if I knew what the challenge was, I would probably pick Kyle or Gabe because I would be like, they can get me to the end. I have like a size 7 foot that can grip onto the sides of those, whatever you call them, the footsteps or whatever. I probably would have been okay at that challenge, especially because like I'm double jointed. So like when my knees lock out, my feet kind of poke out word anyway. I don't know how, I can't explain that for like the listeners, but just trust me. I feel like my messed up bone structure would have been good for this challenge. Yeah,
she was made for this challenge, everyone. Let's build okay, it, so put it in the backyard and test it out.
Please. I'll slay.
All right. So we get to this challenge and we have the first stage is you have to retrieve steps. Only 3 out of the 5 will move on to the second stage where you have to build stairs and then you have to cross a beam. 2 move on from that. And then those 4 people compete in the final stage, which is for individual immunity, where they're standing on these tiny little footsteps and holding themselves up against like 2 walls. I don't know how best to explain that, but if you watch the episode, you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Just know that it's like your feet are hanging on for dear life.
Yes. And it looks real painful.
It does.
And they're also playing for rewards, so they'll get BLTs. Yeah. And then Jeff has to throw this in there. He's like, the first 2 pairs out lose their vote, and they will go on a journey for a chance to win it back. And do you know who Kelly Wentworth is?
Sounds familiar. Isn't she from like season 1?
No, that's different Kelly. Okay. She's like super duper blonde, but she was in multiple seasons. And I follow her on TikTok because she does like a Survivor recap TikTok every single week. And last week she was like, can we not just let the merge be the merge? And I'm like, yes, can we not just see, like, quit throwing in there lose a vote, quit throwing in there that only half the tribe gets to go to tribal council and vote. You know, just let it play out the way that it's supposed to be play out. Like, I'm so ready.
So she's saying stop doing the lose a vote and stop excluding people from tribal council and all that kind of stuff altogether. So that it's always just like a full cohesive tribe because it's the merge and it should be that way.
Yeah, she's saying quit throwing as many twists and turns in. Like, where that makes a difference on how the vote is going to go. Like, when it was just half the tribe that had to go to tribal council and vote, and then it was that half the tribe was immune last week. She's like, no, let's have there be 1 immunity winner and everybody else, like everybody gets a vote.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, because I feel like it's almost like you're not allowing the players to play the game. Like they're having to adapt to whatever twist is going to be this week. And never is it, can we plan ahead? Never is it, I don't know. It's like they just don't get to play the way that they would normally get to play because there's always a twist.
They don't get to plan. And I get that, but that's, I feel like long-term vision and long-term plan is part of the strategy in all of this. But at the same time, I can see how I feel like players are so good nowadays that if you did it like that, there wouldn't be this chaos like leading up to tribal council, and like how entertaining would that be? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I do get that. I get that they're doing it for the entertainment, part of it, and it causes for craziness, and it just causes for like somebody to go home that you didn't expect to go home, which is fine and great. But I think that these players are so good that the twists and turns, like this episode, all of those turns that it took and all of the different people that it could have been, none of that had to do with anybody losing their vote.
That's true. If they're like good players who don't want to take risks, that's one thing. And I think that that was happening for a long time. And that's probably why they put these little twists and turns in there. But if they're really, really good players, like not just good players, but great players, then they're making moves up till the very end, and it's entertaining regardless, like this episode was.
Yes.
So exactly. I get your point. I for sure get your point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get yours. So I could see it going either way. I just wish they would do it for 1 week, you know?
Yeah. Don't tamper with the entire game because it feels fake at a certain point.
Yes. All right. So let's get to this challenge. And we have in the first stage, Sam and Andy are up big. And they freaking blow their huge lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, how Andy is that? That is so Andy.
It was all because the bag ripped, right?
Yes. Because they tried to pull the puzzle piece out, and then the bag just ripped right off of it. So they had to dig up the entire puzzle piece, where like other people were just grabbing a part of the bag and the whole thing was coming out.
Yeah.
So that sucked for them. I was so mad because I was like, please let Sam freaking have a vote again. And then we see Rachel and Caroline lose that stage as well. So those are the four that currently lost their vote. Then we get to stage two, where they have to build the stairs and get over the beam. And holy crap, we have Kyle and Gabe make a comeback. And so it's Teeny Soul, Kyle, and Gabe that make it on to this final part. Final part, Teeny and Soul drop almost at the same exact time, and it's down to Kyle and Gabe.
Like the challenge beasts.
Yes, I was cracking up because, like we said, this challenge is usually better for smaller feet, smaller people. And I was cracking up that like three out of the four were the biggest guys out there.
I know. But then, like, if you looked at Gabe and Kyle's feet, they really kind of had talons. They had chicken claws that were like, clawing on to the side of the wood. So I kind of understood at the same time.
Hanging on for dear life. I bet they're one of those people that has like monkey toes that they can like pick up stuff with their toes. Kyle's at home like texting his mom on his feet.
I would love to see, like, maybe they've done this before. I don't know. But I don't know if they could do this because I don't know if they could get enough athletes on board. But if they were like Survivor, elite athletes, and it was like Simone Biles, LeBron James.
Alana
from the U.S. rugby team. I can't remember her last name. Stephen N. from the U.S. men's.
Nedorozic.
Yes, Nedorozic, something like that. All those people. Jordan Childs, whatever sport, even sports that we've never heard of, like water polo or whatever. Just,
yeah.
And especially like in an Olympic year, maybe they should do that in 2028. Well, maybe not in 2028, but do it in 2029. The
year. Yes. And get Jesse Palmer too.
Yes. Please. Or Survivor reality stars, where you just have reality stars. You got Pilot Pete, Jesse Palmer. Nick Viall, some people from Love is Blind, some people from Big Brother. Like, I would love that. And I don't know if it's just that, like, there's not enough. I know that, like, for a lot of reality stars, like Traitors, for example, if they go on Traitors or they go on Dancing with the Stars, there's a lot of opportunity for them out of those shows that I don't necessarily think is 100% there with Survivor. They wouldn't necessarily be growing their audience or growing their following and all that. So maybe they wouldn't want to do it. Especially not for free, but damn, it would make a good season if they could pull it off. And I would love for them to do that.
Yeah, but here's the thing too, though, is a lot of these people come off of those, like their first show. People ask them, what other reality TV show would you want to do? And I feel like 95% of the time, it's either Big Brother or Survivor.
Well, and I thought too that, you know, I don't know what channel Big Brother is on, but Survivor's on CBS and The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Oh, okay. The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are on ABC. And I know that ABC's contract explicitly states, like, you cannot be on any non-ABC TV show for like 2 years or something like that. That's why they can go on Dancing with the Stars, because that's an ABC show.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, but I mean, I get it. Just share. You maximize the ratings across the board if you just share. It would be awesome.
And if you share, maybe they'll share, and you can come up with your own show, you know, that all these people would be on.
I'd kill to see Hannah Brown on Survivor.
I know. She would kill it. And let's just say, like, okay, Bachelor in Paradise. Now we have Sam on Bachelor in Paradise or Kyle on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, that would be entertaining as well. So if we could just cross-pollinate all of these.
It'd be fantastic. We'd all be watching all of them.
Yes. That would be all that I would watch for the rest of my life.
So Kyle does not win his fourth immunity idol or immunity necklace. What do you call it? Immunity
necklace.
Okay. Kyle does not win his fourth immunity necklace, and Gabe does win for the first time since the merge.
I literally wrote boo.
I would have loved it if Kyle won four times in a row, because every time I've ever watched Survivor, I love a challenge beast, like someone who like gets by on their strength alone. Like they're like, I don't need to play all these social games. I'm just going to win all the challenges and get by on my strength.
And here's the thing I saw on Instagram. I've been just all over social media lately, apparently. But I saw the most immunity wins that has happened in a season is 5. And there's, I think, 5 players that hold that title. It's like Aussie's one of them, obviously. But there's other people that hold that title. Apparently, in this new era, which is season 40 and beyond, the most that someone has won is 3. And so Kyle's now in that, like, the new era elite group, you know? Now he's got to get to the elite group. So I wanted him to like be the first person to win 6 immunity challenges, you know, or win them all. Like, how cool would that freaking be?
Yeah, that would have been awesome. And I wonder how many we have. Now that I know that, I'm going to be rooting for him to win like all of the challenges, because I want to see that record I want to see that record broken. And I want to see somebody get like meet the record of like the old era with the new era rules and time frame.
Yes. Did you watch the season with Mike on it? I'm sorry. I'm going down a rabbit
hole. Possibly.
Rabbit hole. Mike.
Mike.
I can't remember his last name. But it was blue collar, white collar, no collar.
I might have watched a little bit of that. But just explain what you were going to explain.
Okay. So he pretty much blows up his game. He blows it up. I mean, rightfully so, because people were gunning for him. But he like called him out on it. And then everyone just like was like, we don't like Mike. We need to get him out. This guy goes and wins the rest of the immunity challenges.
Wow.
They literally couldn't get rid of him. He won every single one. And he won in the end. But it was like so entertaining to watch. And you're rooting for him the whole time, because everybody wants him out. And you literally can't get him out. And then he had an idol. He didn't win one immunity challenge. Guess what? He had an idol.
Kyle doesn't have an idol, does he?
No, Sue has that one.
What, Sue has that idol. Rachel has an idol. Does anybody else have an idol?
Sam.
See, that's important to keep in mind when they're doing all this.
I know. It is. All right. We got to get back on track. So,
yes. So Gabe won the challenge.
Yes, Gabe won the challenge. And then we have these 3 different groups that we're going to see. So we see the reward people. We see the no reward but have a vote people. And then we see the journey no voters. So we start with the reward people, and at first I was like, are they going to talk any strategy, because all we saw was burping,
just straight burping. Teeny Soul, Gabe, and Kyle were eating BLTs, looked delicious, but Soul and Kyle were having a weird burp off.
Yes, and I'm sorry, but like, did we not have anything else to fill this episode with? We had to go to burping.
Right. But it seems so chaotic at the end. It's like, why did you spend any time on the burping when you could have spent time on all this chaos that was happening at the end?
Yes.
But
I thought that they were going to get so annoyed with the burping that they were going to vote one of them out because of it.
Right.
And it did come down to like one of them. But I was just so shocked. I was like, I don't understand the burping.
I don't think it was because of the burping this time. But Teenie and Kyle were like, let's just get out Sam. And Saul was kind of like not with it, but he was like, I'll go with it if that's what we're going to do because I don't want to get voted out.
Mm-hmm. He's got he had the Sandra strategy. Sandra won twice just by saying anybody but me. She didn't care who went home as long as it wasn't her.
And then Kyle said, like, yeah, I don't really want to get Genevieve out because she just doesn't seem like a super complex social thinker.
Yeah. And she's not like, a thinker. And I was like,
she has you fooled, brother.
This moment right here is when I was like, all right, Genevieve is winning this season.
Yes. Okay. For real. Because the fact that if she hasn't that bold where they really think that she's just like a floater, she's just going along with the vote, she's not really affecting it. But in reality, she is literally behind the scenes affecting and nearly choosing every single vote so far.
Yeah.
You have then they have no idea. But what scares me a little bit is that the jury isn't going to see her brilliance because they were so oblivious to what she was doing the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she'll get a chance to explain that to them at the end. And then I think they'll be like, oh, crap. And they'll be able to fact check it with the other jury members too. Like, was Genevieve really the one that put this plan up? And Sue can be like, yeah, she did.
True.
This and another moment later made me think that Genevieve's going to win. Mm-hmm. But we get to the no reward, but have a vote people, which is Genevieve and Sue. And this is when Genevieve starts her plotting again. And she tells Sue that Saul wanted Gabe out. And I mean,
yeah,
you want anything to get done, just tell Sue that that person wanted Gabe out.
No, for real. That is literally all you have to do.
Yeah. And it works perfectly. Sue's like freaking out. She's like, what would I do in this game without Gabe? And so she immediately wants Saul out. Then we get to the journey, no voters, and we see that Sam is emotional. And then they read that three of them get their vote back.
Yeah.
And then we jump back to the reward people meeting the non-reward people. And they're all sitting there, and immediately Saul's like, all right, it's Sam.
Yeah, like immediately that's what he wanted.
Yes. But immediately after that, Genevieve pulls Gabe, and she tells him that Saul and Teenie were throwing his name out.
Mm-hmm.
So she's already got Sue. Now she's got Gabe. And what does Gabe do? He pulls Kyle. And Kyle's like, again, he's pulling the Sandra strategy. He's like, I'm fine as long as it's not me. Because he definitely thought it was going to be him after losing the immunity challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody but me. I feel like that's kind of how I would be if I was playing this game.
Yeah. I feel like that's the easiest way to go to not be paranoid. Just like anybody but me. It's fine.
But then Kyle says, like, if Caroline has a vote, then he will go for it too.
Yeah. He's like, I'm all in if Caroline has a vote, because I think that would be all they needed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just foreshadowing.
Yes. Definitely foreshadowing. So then we get to the journey, and it's reverse Jenga. They have to build this tower of cards, and the person that makes it fall doesn't have a vote. First of all, did you see this beautiful location?
Yes, it was awesome. I was like, where? Who? How? Where is this?
I know. They just set it up, like, immediately on the side of this rock face, like, near the water. I don't know. That was insane.
It looked like a background. It looked like a Microsoft Windows background. And I was like, I want to play reverse Jenga in front of a Microsoft Windows background.
Right? Like, how can you even focus on freaking playing Jenga when there's that right behind you?
How can you even focus on playing reverse Jenga when you haven't eaten in, like, 2 weeks?
Oh, for real. And my hands are already shaky. I would suck at this.
I would not be good at it. I'm already bad at Jenga. I'm bad at everything that requires to be, like, calm and coordinated.
Yes, same. Okay, so we see that Caroline loses her vote. Woohoo! And all of them are assuming that the vote's going to go towards Kyle. And then we get back to camp.
And Gabe, and sorry, I got excited.
You go ahead.
Gabe and Kyle and Genevieve and Sue say that they're going to go Saul. Mm-hmm. Five is the majority, so they just need one more. But Genevieve said that she's like willing to burn a bridge with Teenie to get Saul out because Teenie and Saul are best friends. That's also mm-hmm. foreshadowing for something egregious that happened later on that I was shocked by.
Yes.
But so then Genevieve go ahead.
Needs her one person. So she pulls Andy and mm-hmm. says, "Hey, we're voting Saul." Andy seems to be fine with that. We're good. You got your one person. This was almost my mistake of the game. My goat move of the game. Genevieve then says, "Well, I'm going to pull in Rachel and ask her if we should let Sam in on the vote or not." No. No, you don't tell Rachel. You don't tell Sam. You have the numbers now.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to tell anybody else. But I guess you at that point, though, you probably want a little bit of insurance because you don't necessarily know where everybody else's alliances yeah. are. You don't necessarily know what kind of conversations they're having. So I can understand wanting to pull more people in just to feel more reassured. But the more people you pull in, the more that those people are going to talk and then other people are going to try to mess up your plans.
Yes, agreed. And we see that Rachel lets Sam in on the vote, kind of. I mean, she didn't really say anything, but he guessed it. He knew exactly what was going on.
Except she said, mm-hmm.
She said, mm-hmm. And as soon as she says, mm-hmm, guess who's there? Saul. Saul is like, Sam, we need to talk. And Sam was like, hey, you know, I don't want to blow up Rachel's game, but I'm going to blow up Rachel's game. She tells mm-hmm. him, or he tells him.
And she had begged him, basically, don't blow up my game. Please don't blow up my spot. Like,
oh,
because she basically told Sam, she basically, without telling Sam that it was Saul, she told Sam that it was Saul. So she's saying, don't tell everybody that I told you it was Saul because it's going to mess up my entire game. And Sam's like, okay, I got you. And then he, not even 5 minutes later, goes and tells Saul that they're throwing Saul's name out there.
Yes. And I really liked this move by Sam. I didn't like that he went against Rachel, but I really liked that he was trying to shake it up. And if Genevieve was not behind the Saul vote, I think this would have worked. Their problem was that they were also trusting Genevieve to not know about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have Sam say, okay, we got to get Genevieve, Teeny, and Andy, and we all vote Sue. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, one key factor of that's not going to work. Genevieve ain't going to vote with y'all.
Yeah.
This is her plan. Like, she's the mastermind of this. She's not going to vote with y'all.
That's their whole thing is they don't understand Genevieve's gameplay.
Yes. So this was the second moment in this episode that I was like, holy crap, Genevieve's going to win this game. Because they were so convinced that she had nothing to do with this vote. That they were trying to pull her in to flip it to Sue.
Yep.
Insane. All right, we have Saul tells Teenie. Teenie is shocked because she was not in on the vote. Sam tells Andy, and Andy's like, I don't know if I can work with Sam. I don't know. Teenie then goes and tells Genevieve, and Genevieve puts on her Oscar performance of acting absolutely shocked and not knowing the vote was going to go that way.
No way, we're voting solo. I had no idea, even though it was literally my idea.
Yes. I'm like, oh, she's playing this perfectly.
So good.
And then all of a sudden, it switches to Kyle. And now they're like, well, let's just get Kyle out. That's who we said in the first place.
That was so random. It was Genevieve, Teenie, Andy, and Saul were like, sure, Kyle. I was so confused by that. And it was almost like they were doing too much.
Yeah, they were. I feel like they were trying to confuse everyone.
Yeah. And then Rachel was like, I regret telling Sam anything.
Yeah. LOL.
Because it did. It did blow up the whole plan. Like, she knew that was going to happen.
But. Yes. And everybody was loose-lipped because Teenie was like, Sam told Saul that the vote is him. And she's like, well, who told Sam? Rachel told Sam. And I'm like, do y'all not, people are not just asking questions to ask questions.
Yeah.
And hello. Everybody's just spilling tea. Tea time on Survivor.
I feel like that would be me in Fiji. I would have such a hard time not just telling everybody everything that everyone said about them.
Yes. Yes. And then all of a sudden we see like the members of the alliance that was going to vote out Sol all of a sudden are like, wait, should we switch it? Since he knows it's him, should we switch it to somebody else? And I'm like, oh my God, who we're freaking voting for? And then we get to tribal.
Tribal is chaotic.
Did you even write down anything that they, like any of the answers that they were giving to Jeff?
No, all I said was, Rachel's whispering to Sam, Teenie whispers to Gabe, Caroline whispers to Sue, Sam whispers to Teenie, Teenie whispers to Gabe, Teenie is being told Sol, Gabe doesn't know about it. Like, and just wrote down like all their little side conversations, even though we didn't know most of them. And it even goes on after that, so I won't keep going. But I was just, I did not, because everything they said to Jeff was pure BS, and it was purely a distraction in order for other people behind them to have little mini conversations.
Yes, I didn't listen to a single word that they were saying to Jeff. I have no idea what questions
it wasn't important.
I have no idea who was even talking. I literally was only listening to who was whispering and what they were whispering, and it was hilarious.
And then, like, Sam is telling Teenie, like, we have to vote together. But then Jeff is asking Teenie a question. And she's like, can you repeat that? I don't even remember what question he asked her. And it doesn't matter. But nobody's paying attention to Jeff.
No.
But then Teenie is talking to Gabe. And Teenie is like, I'm being told Sol. And Gabe is like, sure, but I don't know about that. Yeah.
He goes, by who? What?
Yeah.
What them do you mean two, by who? Yes. Them two playing each other. Like, I was like, I could feel like I could read Teenie's face and being like, dude, I know now I can't trust you because I know you're behind this. Because he goes, by who? And then he's asking her, who are you going to vote for? And she just kind of smiles. Like, why would I tell you that, dude?
Yeah. Gabe is so easy to read through, but I feel like everybody knows that. So at the same time, they're like, we don't mind keeping him here because when it is time to vote him off, it's not going to be that hard. I feel like that might be everyone's thinking.
Yeah. As long as you don't let Sue know, it shouldn't be that hard.
But then Gabe is asking Sam, where are you going to vote? And then Sol is telling Andy, I'm going to vote Sue. Kyle tells Sue it's Sol. And I just wrote down chaos because it was just chaos. Yes. Like, Sue, Sol, whatever. But obviously, they ended up coming to a conclusion during all those conversations.
Yes. Can I just say that there's the very beginning of this, the very first conversation that goes on. Sol says to Genevieve, Sue, let's vote Sue. Mm-hmm. And Genevieve was like, wait, I thought you said Kyle. And he's like, okay, Kyle. And she just goes, what are we doing? Like, that would have been my first inkling that she wasn't with me. Because if she's just like, wait, what are we doing? What? No, just say, yes, we're locked in. You know, like, she was kind of like,
yeah,
what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I didn't think she played that very well. To me, if I was Sol, I'd be like, why is she not just saying, okay, yeah, Sue. Any, you know, like,
she didn't play that well, but it shows you how oblivious and dumb the rest of the tribe thinks that she is.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. I wrote, is it Sue? Is it Kyle? Is it Sol? I'm just dying. Gabe's asking Andy, are you good?
Are you good?
And he's like, over and over, are you good? And Andy's face, he's like shaking his head, but his eyes are going everywhere. Like, I would have been so scared. I would have been like, where's Andy voting?
Andy has that crackhead energy always, though. Andy just brings the crackhead energy.
He really does. That's why I guess people say they can't like work with him, because you really just never know. So
we get to the votes.
And that's when Genevieve, when she's voting, she says, what a shit show.
Mm-hmm. So true, queen.
Yes. And Souls voted out. There's only one vote for Sue, which had to have been Soul.
It was.
Amy is crying. And I don't know. I'm just so confused on what happened in these conversations where everyone was like, okay, there's no changing it. It's Soul.
That's why I wish that we had subtitles on everything, because I genuinely believe that going into Tribal, that a lot of people, I feel like maybe half of them were set on Sue and half were set on Soul. And then Soul's name got thrown around so much that they were like, I have to be with the majority during this vote. Like, Sam, I don't think wanted to vote Soul. Teeny, I don't think wanted to vote Soul. So I think that in their heads, they were like, I just have to be with the majority on this, and I have to vote Soul, because those conversations were flying around. And I feel like if you're in the conversations that are happening during Tribal Council, you have to be very firm. Like, if it was me, I wanted somebody out, like if I wanted Gabe out or whatever, I would be like, it's Gabe, we're all voting Gabe. I would not leave any room. I wouldn't ask anybody who they're voting for or anything. That way everyone is like, oh, well, I guess it's Gabe, so we're voting with the majority. And in this case, it was Soul. And I think that enough people just heard Soul's name getting thrown around that they were like, I have to vote with the majority. There's no other way.
Yeah. Yeah. There had to have been that, or there had to have been an inkling that they didn't have the majority to save him. Like, Genevieve must have been like, no, we don't have the majority. We need to vote Soul, or someone did.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been her. It could have been Andy. It could have been Rachel. Like, it could have been any of them being like, we don't have the majority. We have to do this. I get it. Because if you don't vote with them, then you're technically on the bottom.
But I will say that Saul had like a very graceful exit, and he told Teeny to give him hell. That was really sweet.
Yes. So. But also, sometimes that's like, I don't know. It's almost like you're now taking her game down by complimenting her on the way out, because he now has a vote for who wins. And so you keep Teeny in the game, you know she at least has one jury vote.
Yeah.
You see, like, sometimes when people are, when they leave and they throw out someone's name, like, you go get them, like, you better win this. Then people are like, oh, that's who people are rooting for. Maybe we should get them out.
Maybe we should get them out. And I could see people rooting for Teeny because she is like one of the only players that leads fully with her heart. Like, she is strategic. She's a good player. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But she does lead with her heart. Like, if she doesn't want somebody out because they're her bestie, then she really doesn't want them out. And that's why I think it must have been really hard for her to vote for Soul, because they are besties.
Yes. Agreed. And then we see Genevieve talk to herself, and she goes, holy shit, that actually worked.
Yeah.
And so when she thought her plan was crumbling, it was really working.
She's realizing her power, and it'll either go to her head or it'll just grow.
Yeah. I mean, if she can pull this one off, I feel like this was one of the hardest ones to blindside someone that is in your alliance and it's your plan and they know about it and they try to switch the vote and there's so many names being thrown out and it's a live tribal council. Like, if you can win that battle, I feel like she knows she can win any battle.
For sure. So who was your game changer of the game?
Well, on that note, Genevieve was my game changer. I don't think that Soul would have gone home if she didn't open up her mouth to Sue. And I think she was just so sly, like so sly throughout the whole thing. Nobody thought that it was her who was making these decisions. Like, just pure genius.
I agree. My game changer, which we didn't get to see all of the subtitles on all of the conversations that were had during Tribal, but my general game changer was anybody who threw out Soul's name during Tribal.
Everybody.
So everybody, basically.
Soul. Yeah. Yeah, that was
because that did change the game. Like, you can't convince me that they were all going to vote for Soul going into that tribal council, because they all looked so worried.
Yeah, no, there's no way. They wouldn't have even started talking. Sam and Teeny would not have started talking to each other during tribal council if they already knew it was going to be Soul.
So who made your fire move of the episode?
Yes, going with the same theme. Genevieve staying under the radar, undetected as the mastermind for this plan, was my fire move. Her acting skills.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I'm going to be fascinated to see how far she goes. I feel like there's going to be a point in the season, perhaps, maybe, unless she plays it perfectly, where they realize how much power she has and how good she is. And they're like, oh, we got to get her out.
Yeah, I'm hoping that never happens.
Me too, because I love her. But my fire move of the episode, which I'm not sure if this counts, but I feel like it does, because they were throwing out Gabe's name left and right at the beginning of this episode, and then he won the challenge. So my fire move was him having strong enough chicken toes to hold onto that wooden piece of, that tiny little piece of wood on the side of that wall in order to win the challenge. That was my fire move.
Yeah. It's crazy to think like how differently this tribal could have gone if Gabe didn't win immunity.
Right? Like they were throwing his name out left and right at the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Good move. What was your goat move?
My goat move was, which is our weakest move, because in Survivor, the goat is like a weak player who you just kind of carry along to the end so you can use them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sol being generally oblivious to him being on the chopping block was my goat move, because I feel like he started making moves way too late, and he wasn't even really ever in charge of them. Like, it was Sam, it was Genevieve, maybe even a little bit Kyle and Gabe, but like Sol was never in charge of saying or dictating or having any influence on who was going home. So my general goat move is him just not having enough influence when he was the one on the chopping block.
Yeah, the only time that he had influence is when he got to save Rachel from that one tribal.
Yes.
Which is just shocking to me then why you vote him out. Because if he's not very influential, is he really that big of a threat to you?
I think that they're not reading the threats accurately right now, because they were like, oh, he's a sleeper threat. He's a subtle threat. They kept saying that. And I was like, is he though? Like, yeah. Is he?
Yeah, I agree. My goat move was Rachel letting it slip to Sam that the vote was going to be Sol. Because now Genevieve knows for sure that she can't trust Rachel. And if Genevieve is running the show, I think Rachel's gone soon.
Oh, yeah. That move alone could easily shorten Rachel's game.
Yeah.
Now, she's lucky she has the immunity idol. But it's a matter of, is she going to play at the right time? Because I think that Genevieve's very good at making people think that they're not going home when they are.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. All right,
what was your hot take?
Oh, okay. My hot take, but not a hot take. In the episode, I really wanted Sam to play his idol for Sol. When they had that conversation, when Sam figured out that the votes were going to Sol, I wanted him to go to him and say, hey, it's going to be you tonight, but I promise you, I'm going to play my idol for you. Just keep your mouth shut and me and you together can dictate wherever we want this vote to go.
And you know, then, that would have been such a big alliance builder, and I would have loved that.
Yes.
And I think that people get a little too selfish with the idols, and
definitely
not selfish as in like, oh, you should play it for other people, but selfish as in, hey, it might be better for your game if you play it for somebody else than for yourself.
Yes. And I understand why he did it in this situation. Because if he plays the idol going into next week, his alliance would be him, Teeny, Rachel, and Sol. You would have those four locked down. But there are still five people on the other side that you have. Like, you still don't have the majority. If this was going to make you have the majority, then absolutely play your idol, because then you can dictate the votes for the rest of the game. I agree with you that I think people get a little selfish with their idols. They only want to play them for themselves when they're in trouble. And it's almost, again, that mentality of anybody but me. But if you don't have people on your side, to me, not playing an idol for an alliance member, and when you can gain the majority, like, that is just stupid. It's stupidity.
Yeah.
I think it's just as good to play it for somebody else as it is for yourself.
I totally agree, because not only are you saving someone that you want to save, that kind of means like, okay, so if Sam played that idol for Sol, Sue would have gone home.
Yes.
And you would have gotten his way.
Yes, exactly. But it doesn't really help Sam going into next week, because there's still five people on the other side. there's still Kyle, Caroline, Andy, Genevieve, and Gabe.
That's true. Well, my hot take was not... Oh, go ahead.
But they do have another idol on that side because they have Rachel's idol. So they could try to see where the vote was going to go and use it again. And the best way... Okay, I got to go into this deep.
Okay, give it to me.
The best thing to do would be to have the vote go exactly how it did. Only one vote for Sue. And you give Saul the idol before tribal council. And he can say he found the idol. It's his idol. Yada, yada, yada. So now you think Saul's still on the bottom. You think that maybe Rachel. You probably think Rachel can still work with the five. Kyle, Caroline, Andy, Genevieve, and Gabe. And so now you don't even see this alliance over here that pulled off this great move. And then you're getting information from the people that think they're in charge. And you could use Rachel's idol, the next tribal council, to save the next person in that four. And now you have even numbers.
That would be so brilliant if people would be true to their alliances in that way.
I know. It just doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't. Like, I'm thirsting for that season, which I feel like it'll either be this season or it'll happen soon, where there's like a 4 or 5 person alliance and they just stick together till the very end. Yes. I want that so bad because the most fascinating part about that is those alliances make everybody else think that they're not in alliance after a while. They'll be like, oh yeah, actually I'm going to turn on her this week.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to turn on him this week. And then they end up voting together again. I love that.
I do too. I just wish that a group of people would stick together. And I guess this week they kind of did, but.
They did. It makes it more interesting though, when you feel like people have like an emotional bond and they're like, I'm your ride or die. I'm going to stick with you till the end. It just makes it more high stakes.
Yes. Agreed. Oh wait, actually none of that would work. Because I forgot Sam's idol that he has, he had to use it at that first tribal council. So now he has an idol, but it's not like active. So what he could have done, though, is he could have told Saul that he had a fake idol and get Saul to pull the idol out at tribal council. And then everybody would be so scared that he has an idol that they would need to flip their votes. And then maybe Saul doesn't go home. All right, what was your hot take?
My hot take was that Teenie should have tried harder to help Saul stay. Because Teenie, let's be honest, Teenie's not out here making big moves on her own. She's kind of feeling it out, seeing what other people are doing, going along with it. She has input here and there. Like, obviously, she didn't want Saul to leave. But girl, if you didn't want Saul to leave, then why were you telling people, like, stick to your guns, be like, no, I'm not voting Saul at tribal council. Even if you do end up voting Saul, at least give yourself a fighting chance to be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm voting for Sue. Both at tribal council and before. Like, don't just kind of give the impression that you're here to always vote with the majority. I just appreciate people, and I think people who don't just go with the majority every time win or have a better chance of winning, because if you're just going with the majority every single time without having any conviction or any say in who actually goes, you're never going to be voted for by the jury.
Yes. And I get, like, people don't want to put, like, say she voted for Sue, right? And it's just her and Saul that voted for Sue. Now Sue's going to be gunning for her. I get that. You don't want that target on your back going into the next week. But I wish that people would. Let's see how it would have shaken out if everybody voted for who they actually wanted to vote for.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It would be so cool if they did an episode where, like, the twist was everyone is separated between the last tribal council and then the upcoming tribal council, where they literally can't talk to anybody.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy. That reminds me of, like, season one. Oh my God. It was so funny to see how people voted and having an alliance. Like, Richard Hatch made an alliance of, I think, 4 or 3 people, and that was enough to dictate the votes when there were still like 12 people in the game, because
nobody else could organize.
Yes. And it was the first season, so you didn't know how it was going to go, and there were no alliances. So people were just like, you know what? I want to vote for Angela. That's who I'm going to vote for this week. And one guy literally did it alphabetically.
He's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E.
Yeah. And people got pissed because they're like, well, shit, that means I'm next. So they voted him out.
That's hilarious.
Yes. But I love that first season where you get to like purely see like why people would want a certain person out. And sometimes like two votes would do it.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. I can't wait till the next episode. Oh, and I wanted to mention something. I know, like, let's be honest, The Golden Bachelorette has been boring this season. It hasn't been worth covering. Snooze fest. We're both way too busy. But I was thinking, and this is not a promise to our, you know, 10 listeners, but I was thinking of maybe on Saturdays before I go into work, coming on by myself and just having like a 20-minute pop culture breakdown, editing it myself. That way we don't even have to schedule like our time together, because that's really hard. You're also very, very, very busy right now. I'm very busy, but like different schedule. Like I have more time during the days, I think, than you do. Yeah. So I don't know. I was thinking about that. Would you be okay with that if I did like, you know, little 20-minute pop culture roundups on Saturdays?
Yeah, totally cool with me.
That way we can get two episodes out, but it's like a quick and easy one, not a lot of editing, you know, all that.
Yeah, I agree. Golden Bachelorette had their finale tonight, so I am excited to see who won. I think we all know who won, but I did watch part of the Men Tell All. I didn't finish it. It's just hard because it gets late in the week. Because we watch this on Wednesdays, it gets hard because we watch that one so late in the week that it's like you go into your weekend and you never know what your plans are. And you got so many things going on just in general.
And like, Survivor is so much more exciting.
Oh, yeah, it is. Like, I'm telling you, Chalk proposed to Joan and they're happy right now. Like, I just feel like that's the way that was going to go. Charles,
you want to know my prediction? It's like, oh, I would love for Charles All to be our next bachelor. That's my first prediction. But my second prediction is I actually don't think Chalk and Joan are engaged. I think they're just dating.
It could be.
I get that vibe from her. She just is not like, she's not like a hopeless romantic trying to fall in love and be swept off her feet. That's just the energy that I get from her.
Yeah, they could just be dating for sure. But I think they're together. And yeah, I mean, and also their episodes are 2 hours long. Like, get rid of that.
Yeah, for real.
Go to an hour and a half. Like, I could not imagine.
Go to an hour. I don't even need an hour and a half.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I loved Gary's season with an hour.
Yes. Do you remember how I had said prior that Pascal seems like the kind of guy younger women?
Yeah, I saw his interview. Yeah, where he said, well, if I was the Golden Bachelor, I can't do a French accent.
If I was the try to do it. If I was the Golden Bachelor.
If I was the Golden Bachelor, then I would need much younger ladies.
Yes. Good job. That was beautiful.
Which was hilarious to me because I was like, oh my gosh, Angela called it. He should be on Normal Bachelor in Paradise because he likes his ladies young.
But it also kind of made me upset because I'm like, oh, so you're saying Joan was too old for you, even though Joan is like beautiful and like directly like in Pascal's league, you know, like, don't be acting like you're too good for Joan.
Okay. But also now I'm like, who's this girl that you've broken up with 3 times and how old is she?
I thought she's probably like 29.
There's a reason they've broken up 3 times and it's because she's just going through her mid-20s, living her life.
She's not ready to settle down yet.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't wait to catch back up with you about Survivor, about, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the finale of The Golden Bachelorette on the next episode or just whenever we record again. So do you have anything else to add to this episode? I felt like it was a great one.
Yeah, I did too. The only other thing I was going to say is old Mark Anderson. Have you seen who he's like supposedly dating?
No.
Okay. Have you ever watched One Tree Hill?
No.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Is it someone off of there?
Yes. It's the mom off of One Tree Hill. And they have done like a ton of TikToks together. Like, I think they're like legit together. I don't know if they've confirmed or not, but I think that's like another reason that Charles L might be the next Golden Bachelor, is because I think Mark is in a relationship with her. And it's so perfect because she's like a legit celebrity. And
yeah, that definitely means that Mark is not the next Bachelor.
Yes, I agree. But also I love it because I love One Tree Hill and I love Mark. And so it's like my two worlds are colliding. I'm so excited.
I mean, yeah, I know how much of a big deal that show is to some people. So that actually is shocking and really cool.
Yes, agreed. But yeah, that was all I had to add. Thanks for joining us. Please make sure to spread the word about our podcast, Binge and Banter. We've got a few weeks of Survivor left, and we'll wrap this up and we'll go on and decide what we're going to do next. But we're trying to get our listeners up, so please listen and share and go like our Instagram posts. Our poor little Instagram posts only get like 3 likes a week. And when we get like 8, I'm ecstatic.
So binge.banter.
Binge.banter. Go like our posts. Go follow us. Go listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Binge and Banter. I'm Angela.
And I am Emily. And we will see you next time.
Bye.